All right, we're glad to see everybody here this morning. And if you will, go ahead and look over to Isaiah chapter 6 in your Bible. We're going to be there in just a minute. I want to ask you something. You don't have to raise your hand for this, by the way. How many of you ever heard your parents say something like, I've told you 500 times. I've told you 500 times to do this. When your parent says something like this, what they're saying is, this is really important, and you don't seem to be getting it. I wonder if sometimes God feels like that. There's a word that I've got on the screen up here that you are very familiar with, I'm sure. Anybody want to take a shot at how many times the word holy is mentioned? I'm going to tell you. 653 times at least. There is a reference to holiness or sanctification in the Bible. In other words, God is saying, I have told you 653 times that there's something really, really important. Now, here's a question that I do want you to answer. As you think about holiness, what does the word holy mean? Anybody? Don't be shy. What does the word holy mean? Set apart. That's our definition, isn't it? We understand that when God says to be holy, what he says is to be set apart. However, I want to take that just a step further today. When we say, yes, it is set apart, but it's also not only separation, it's a word we don't hear quite as often, known as consecration. Sometimes we only get kind of a halfway view of holiness. We think of it as the stuff that we don't do. And that's right. There are a lot of things, if you are holy, you're not going to do it because God has said not to do it. But yet, on the other hand, when you are holy, you are set apart to do a number of things that God has told you to do. So it's not just this negative concept of holiness is this separation. We can't do this. We can't do that. That's a part of it. But God also says, I want you to be holy in the sense that I have work for you to do, things for you to do. Now, another question I think is fairly easy for us this morning. Who teaches us to be holy? That's an easy one, so somebody answer it. Who teaches us to be holy?
Jesus.
Jesus does, absolutely. When Jesus came to earth, he said, let me show you how to be holy. Let me show you how to live a life of holiness. And so everything that Jesus did as he was here on the earth, what he was doing was saying, this is what God would do in this situation. This is what I expect you to do in this situation. This is how to be set apart from wickedness. This is how to be set apart to do the good works of the Lord. So as we think about this concept of holiness, as we're going to do this morning, it's very important for us to understand that this is something that God not only expects of us, but it's something God demands. That if I'm going to be pleasing to Him, I'm going to be set apart from wickedness. I'm going to be set apart to do good things. Now, I want to take us back to Isaiah chapter 6. And of course, this is long before Jesus ever walked the face of the earth. But nonetheless, we're being taught here a number of things about holiness. And probably you are familiar with this vision, either from reading it or singing about it. I want you to look in verse 3. And there are three words that are spoken when the seraphim come into the presence of God. It's really easy because it's the same word repeated three times. What is that word? Holy. And so here Isaiah, and you can kind of imagine, in fact, open up your imagination. Be right there with him. He's taken in this vision, and here he is at the throne room of God. And as he looks, here are these seraphim that are flying ahead, and they're very strange creatures in their description. But Isaiah is not so much impressed with what they look like as what they're saying. And so they say as they fly over the Lord as they're in His presence, holy, holy, holy. One holy wasn't enough. They were in the presence of the One who was the epitome of holy, who is holiness in every shape, facet, and form. Now, as you think about what Isaiah saw, and as you think about these seraphim flying over, I want to ask you a very easy question, but something that we have got to get down. What are the seraphim saying to us? What are they telling us about God? Give me the obvious first. What are they saying God is? Holy. But I want you to notice something else that they're saying here. They're saying when you come into the presence of God, when you are really there with the Lord, there is nothing you can do but to look upon His holiness and to be impressed by it. That's where you and I need to be. Though we are not going to be taken in a vision in our own minds, we can travel there with Isaiah. And as he looks here and he sees all of this, he's asking, in fact, a little bit later in the book, he's going to say, who is this God? And he answers that question. And what he's going to say is basically, he is a God who is holy in every way, shape, and form. Now, my purpose this morning is just kind of a lead-in to the two presentations that are coming. And as we do this, what I want to do is to get your minds focused on who the Lord is, on His holiness, and on our own holiness as well. And to do that, there are three things I want you to remember about the Lord. As we go through this morning's presentation, David and Shane are going to take us in several different directions. But as they're doing that, there's three things I want you to come back to as we think about the Lord. First of all, I want us to consider Him as our Creator. I say that because God has the power to tell us what we need to be. And He's got the power to make us into what we need to be. And so the first thing we want to think about is His power as Creator. Now, you and I are impressed by size, aren't we? We like big things. In fact, that's kind of an American spirit. We like things big and bold. In fact, we think about our own country. Would you say that our country is a pretty big country? How many of you have been to Texas before? How many of you have driven all the way across Texas? Now, if you've never done it, Texas is like being in quicksand. You keep going and you keep going and you keep going. You never get out of Texas. I remember my parents took me there as a child and we drove across it. And, you know, I'd go to sleep and I'd wake up a couple hours later. Where are we? We're still in Texas. And I'd ride for 4 or 5 hours. Where are we? We're still in Texas. Take another. It's like we never got through. Now take that and multiply it from California all the way over to the East Coast. It's a massive country, isn't it? When we think about our country, you know what percentage of the earth we take up? 0.01927%. Well, let's go to the earth then. Earth is pretty big, isn't it? Anybody ever traveled around the earth? Anybody got plans to? You know how many earths will fit into our sun? 1 million. We're in a tiny little country on a tiny little planet. But the Lord says, when you think of me, you're thinking of something bigger than you could ever possibly think of. In fact, I want to use a quote from Isaiah here. He says of the Lord, it is He who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in. God is so big that He says, when I look down at the earth, it's like a human looking down at a grasshopper. About 3 weeks ago, my sons duped me into climbing a mountain over 5,900 feet in the air. I just about died, quite literally, going up that mountain. But one thing that impressed me, when we got to the top of the mountain, we could look down and we saw a road with the trams in this national park going through it. They looked about that big. And I think about that, and I think about the Lord when He says, when I look down, I am so much greater, I am your Creator, that it's the equivalent of you looking down at a small little insect. That's the difference between us and God. And so Isaiah tells us, when you think about the glory of God, that's what I want you to think about. When you think about who God is, keep your place there at Isaiah chapter 6 and look over to chapter 40 with me. Let's look at just a couple other verses there. I want you to note something else that Isaiah tells us here. If you go with me to chapter 40, verse 17, he says, all the nations are as nothing before Him. They are accounted by Him as less than nothing and emptiness. In fact, the same chapter he'll say they're a drop in the bucket. That's where our phrase comes from. We oftentimes think of our country being the most powerful country on the face of the earth. God says, I could do that, and your country's gone. They're nothing before me because I am the Creator. Now, point number one I want you to remember. When we think about the holiness of God, I want us to think about the fact that we owe Him our holiness because He made us and He can tell us what we need to be. All right, second thing I want us to remember today is the fact of His incomparable righteousness. He's not only a creator, but He's a good creator. He's a righteous creator. Can you imagine if the one who had created us was a wicked God? And He created us for some kind of sadistic purpose. That's not our God. In fact, He created us specifically to have a relationship with Him. We blew it. You know, from Adam on, we've been blowing it. But nonetheless, God has said, I have put you here, and I want to bless you, and I want to treat you in such a way as a father would treat his children, so that we can have this holy relationship. Again, let's think about what the prophet's telling us here in chapter 5. He says, but the Lord of hosts is exalted in justice, and the holy God shows himself holy in righteousness. That's the God that we serve. Now, as you consider that, I want us to go back to Isaiah chapter 6. All right, so if you're holding your place here at Isaiah 6, let's go back to verse 5. Here is what Isaiah said when he came into the presence of God. He said, and I said, woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Now, I want you to answer this question. When Isaiah looks upon the presence of God, what's the first thing Isaiah realizes about himself? He's not worthy to be there. Some people have said this may have been Isaiah's conversion. I don't know if that's the case or not, but I know that he is converted to the point that he says, when I look upon you, I see that I am not worthy to be in your presence. And the Lord symbolically takes this has his servants take this coal and to touch the lips of Isaiah and to say, your lips are now clean, go and speak my word. That's the concept of holiness. When we come into the presence of God, we see how far we are from Him, but we also see how much we want to be like Him, how much we want to be like the Lord, and that's what Isaiah is doing. And so, I ask you this morning as you think about this, when we're confronted with God and we're dealing with Him in His righteousness, we've got to look inward and we've got to say, how serious am I about holiness? You see, one of the things God just does not accept is half-heartedness. He never has, ever. You look throughout the Bible and there have been people since time began who trying to give God half and the world half, and God says, forget it. God is saying to us that when we are holy, we are recognizing His absolute righteousness and we are seeking to be like Him. That's what He wants. Let me leave you with one final point here, a third point. I want you to think about the fact that He loves us. He's our Creator. He's righteous. He created us so that we could have a relationship with Him. But then we blew it. We let sin come into our lives. But yet God says, because of who I am and because of my love, I'm going to let you find a way back. I want us to know, we're going to go kind of quick through this. In fact, let's just look back to chapter 40 and pick up just the first verse. You might want to make a note of these others. But note in verse 28 what Isaiah is recording here. He says in verse 28, have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Let's go ahead and finish this whole section. He says He gives power to the faint and to him who has no might, and He increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And what I want you to understand from that is the fact that God, in His righteousness, says, if you are in sin, you cannot be with me, but in my love, I'm providing a way for you to be like me. I want you to remember those three points. God is our Creator. God is a righteous God, and He is a loving and merciful God. And when we think of that, we understand then who we serve and how we can be like Him. Because I want to take you to just a couple of verses as we end this part of it. And I want you to think about 1 Peter 1, 15 and 16. It's an important passage. My guess is it'll probably come up in each of the presentations this morning. As Peter is telling us who we can be, he says, but ye, just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do, for it is written, be holy because I am holy. Now, I've left you a spot on your information there to put that verse in your own words. Do it now, do it later. But what I want you to do is to read that passage, and I want you to take it, and I want you to put it in language that's clear for you to understand. God is saying, I need to be like Him. I need to be holy as He is holy. And that's scary. That is a frightening thought. If someone, pick your sport, whichever one you like, came to you, the very best person in that sport, very best soccer player, baseball player, basketball, football, whatever, and said, I want you to be like me, would that intimidate you? Would that be a little frightening? Because you're thinking, you know, I'm only in high school or just graduated or just started college and you've had all this experience. How can I be like you? And so the Lord might say to us, you be holy like me, and that might scare us. Oh, but we need to add something else to the mix here. We go to something the Apostle Paul told us. Philippians chapter 2. He says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Right? We're still a little scared, right? Comma, not period. What? For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill His good purpose. You see, God has said, I'm going to help you to be holy. This morning, God is helping you to be holy. There are going to be men speaking to you who are going to help you in that way. And so I want you to take that verse as well. And I want you to put it in your own words. I want you to write down what you see the Lord telling you, how that He says, yes, you are responsible for your salvation. But I'm here with you every step of the way. A loving Creator, a righteous Creator, a merciful Creator, who is going to help us to be like Him. This morning, pay close attention to what you hear, because He's going to help you to be holy as He's holy.